Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Whose voice is it anyway? Whose voice are you listening to during this time or season of fasting, this time of consecration that most of you have set your hearts to doing over this three-week period or whatever it is God's laid on your heart to do? During this time, you have to discern what God is saying to you. You have to discern as you draw closer to Him, as you draw near to Him in this time, you have to discern the voices that will come and try and speak to you during this season. I'm going to show you a few keys this morning of, or this evening rather, it's morning somewhere, amen? It really is. I'm going to give you a couple of keys tonight to being able to discern when God is speaking to you and when the enemy is trying to speak to you at the same time or around about the same time. So we'll take a look at this in just a moment. Let's go to Revelation 12. Well, let's wait before we go there. Let me say this. People come to me all the time and they say to me, Pastor Alex, how do I know that this is God? How do I know that this is His voice? And how do I discern whether it's the voice of the Lord or if it's the voice of the enemy or if it's just my soul that has desires? What you need to remember is that there are some things that the enemy will try to do to lure you into a direction, to take you into a direction so that you can lose focus or lose what God is trying to say to you. I'm going to give you those keys tonight. Hopefully they'll give you some strength, encourage you during this time, because during this time of fasting, many of you will definitely, without any doubt, begin to hear the voice of God. He will begin to speak to you, show you things, give you direction. And during the season, you need to discern that voice and also the voice of the enemy. So what I want to do is start by just giving you some characteristics of how the enemy will come to you and try and whisper in your ear. Revelation 12, verse number 10 says this. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. The first voice I want you to recognize, who is the enemy's voice, definitely not the voice of God, is when the enemy comes with accusation. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He always comes and he points his finger and he begins to criticize and accuse the brethren. So specifically, he's actually talking about the church. He's talking about how the enemy will come and more than likely actually cause believers to begin to criticize or point the finger. What you need to discern is two things. Number one, that the enemy doesn't use you to be the accuser. Amen. That he doesn't cause you to go around pointing a finger, accusing, saying that this should be done like this, and I don't like this, and I think they should do that, and I think we should operate like this, and I don't think Pastor Alex is right. Pastor Alex is always right. Okay, not always, amen. But that's besides the point. When you start accusing, that's when it gets ugly. You also have to discern when people start bringing accusations against you, or you watch people bring accusations, or they come to you and begin to accuse people or even yourself. You need to be able to discern that. And what you need to know without any doubt is during this season, as the enemy comes and disguises himself as a sheep, but really he's a wolf. One of the ways you will identify whose voice it is the voice of accusation. Knowing fully well that that voice of accusation cannot be God's voice. He doesn't do that. Amen. So that's the first thing I want you to take a look at. Luke 4, verse number 1. Luke 4, verse number 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. Everybody say he was hungry. There's a good chance that during this season, you will become hungry. During this season, you will become weak. And it's very important during the season that you understand in your tiredness, in your weakened state, in your hunger, this is a time where the enemy loves to come and try to convince you of things. Let's take a look at it. So it says, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." What I want to focus on here is that you need to discern while you're in that state, while you're fasting, or even in life, when things are going really difficult for you. You need to be very cautious when you're weak in any situation, not only in fasting, to be very cautious to the voices that are speaking to you. Because the enemy will attack you, and it's very important that you are cautious with the decisions you make, especially if they are major ones. While you're weak, while you're not strong, while you're not on a spiritual, spiritually strong and really moving and going with God, if you're weak, you've been fasting, or you're in a difficult season of your life and voices begin to speak to you, or you feel someone leading you to do something, make sure in that situation that you discern very cautiously what voice is speaking to you. Amen. So be careful when you're weak to discern the voice that comes. I also want to point out to you that when you are weak, the enemy will always come and challenge you with your identity. He will always come and challenge you and say to you, "Are you really in the right place? Are you really going in the right direction? Are you sure you heard from God? Do you not think that maybe you should rather go over there and do this? And maybe you should rather do that? And, you know, maybe you should leave your husband." Those are the kind of things that the enemy will do. And so you need to make sure that you discern. But specifically in the area of your identity, the enemy will always challenge your identity, specifically when you're weak. Amen. I know normally Sunday nights, we sort of just kind of don't really teach, but tonight I need to teach you. Is that okay? Don't worry, I'm not going to be very long. And then we'll see what happens. Genesis 3, verse number 1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" I want you to take note of that. Now, immediately the devil does something. He lies. The enemy, the devil's voice, will always be a voice that will not tell the truth. God said to Adam and Eve that they can eat from every tree except one. So immediately the devil's saying, "Has God indeed not said to you that you can eat from every tree in the garden?" And Eve responds and identifies the fact that that's not the truth. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. Nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The devil is a liar. He will always twist the truth. And when we get into hearing God's voice, you'll understand that the lie is one of the most powerful forms that the enemy will bring against you, trying his best to twist the truth of God's word, trying to twist what God is saying so that you can feel good about yourself, or so that you can feel, "Well, maybe, you know, maybe I should do this and it'll be the right thing." Always remember, the enemy lies and contradicts always what God has said to be truth. So immediately when anything comes to you that in any way is not truthful or in line with the word of God, immediately you must identify it as the voice of the enemy. Because God's voice will always speak truth. A couple of months ago, I shared with my staff and even with the church a little bit, the importance of truth. If the truth isn't in you, if there's darkness in you, how great is that darkness? How are you operating? Are you operating with truth or are you operating not out of truth, out of darkness? So it's very important that we carry the spirit of truth inside of us. That's why I never try to produce or manufacture something that isn't true. If I don't feel like God is, if God hasn't spoken to me or God's not going to move on a Sunday night or Sunday morning, I'm not going to try to produce something that isn't genuine. That's why a lot of times people get upset in churches because, you know, there's lots of things happening in the church that really have nothing to do with God. They're more about me, myself, and I. Can I be seen? Can I make the loudest noise? I'm not saying that there aren't times where God will want you to shout. But make sure that you're led by the Spirit and that there's truth in you and it's not real or fake. Does it make sense, guys? Okay. Just a few more. Bear with me. Are you all okay? Are you all still saved? No, that's good. This is an important one. Matthew 16, verse 21. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Listen, the message isn't great, but it's got a happy ending. He says that he's going to go and suffer many things. He's going to be killed, but guess what? He's going to be raised again. So Jesus is actually saying, listen, it's not going to be good, but I'm going to be raised from the dead. I'm going to come alive again, and watch what happens. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Now look at Jesus' response, because he identifies the voice that is speaking to him. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. One of the things the enemy will always try to do is get you off the course that God has for your life. Be careful during this season of fasting while you're seeking God, that it might not be a desire in your heart and not a desire of God's. Make sure you hear what he says, because the enemy will try and take you in a direction that's off the course or plan of God for your life. He always wants to lead you astray. He always wants to take you off course. Jesus had the discernment to recognize that voice that was trying to lead him away from his destiny. The destiny of Christ was to be raised from the dead. Amen. But Satan didn't want that. That's why Jesus doesn't even talk to Satan. I mean, to Peter. He talks directly to Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. And he rebukes him just like that. In other words, Jesus immediately recognized the voice. Now, please don't, if someone's sitting with you in the cafe and they say, oh, you know, Joe, I really think that you should, you know, rather go to, you know, that church down in South Louisiana, and I think that's where God's calling you. Don't go, get behind me, Satan. For you are an offense to me. I don't like shrimp. That can't be God. Amen. You need to be able to identify it. Remember, the battle's not against flesh and blood, so you can begin to deal with the enemy immediately. Recognize the voice that's speaking to you, trying to get you off the course that God has for you. So remember, the enemy will always try and lure you off the path that God has chosen for you. Amen. Amen. Now, let's take a look. I'm going to give you two keys. And these two keys are the two keys that I use always when it comes to discerning the voice of God. Yes, there are many other things that can add to it. I'm not giving you the only keys. But if there are two things that you need to be able to discern whether God is speaking to you or not, it's these two. The first one, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can you say amen? God's word will never contradict his word. In other words, God will never come to you and give you a word to contradict what he has already spoken. So if God's word, for example, says that you should not divorce your husband or divorce your wife without reasonable cause, without just cause, we know what that is from scripture, without adultery, if adultery isn't involved, you should not divorce your spouse. That doesn't mean now that God has come to you in a dream and told you that he wants you to be more comfortable and more happy. Are you kidding me? No, Pastor Alex, I hear it all the time. Pastor Alex, God wants me to be happy. No, God wants you to obey his word. You chose her, you stick with her, brother. You got to fight for your marriage. You got to fight for your children. You've got to do whatever it takes. Doesn't matter how you feel. What does God's word say? Now, I know every situation is unique, so I'm not coming against anybody that's been through something. The point I'm trying to make is that the devil is the one who will come and pervert God's word to try to make you feel comfortable. But God does not contradict his word. God will not come to you and say, oh, well, I think that there's going to be an angel in the service tonight. And when that angel appears in the back of the service, I know it says you shouldn't bow before angels, but you know, this angel is going to bring such a powerful manifestation of the presence of God. All you need to do is bow and pretend you're bowing to me, but bow down to him. God would never do that. Doesn't matter how beautiful the angel is. Doesn't matter how anointed the angel is. You do not bow down to any other God, to any other angel. There's only one that we bow down to, and that's to God. So in other words, when the enemy comes or when you're going through a struggle in your life, does it contradict the word or is it what the word says? There's not too many amens tonight in Vero Beach. It must line up with the word. Use the scriptures for any revelation you get. And if it doesn't line up with the word, kick it out. It cannot be God. Listen, God does not contradict himself. He already knows what he spoke. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't decide to change his mind about what he spoke about 5,000 years ago. It's the same. It's the same word. It's the same rules. It's the same that we live by, that we breathe by. Can you say amen? Well, you know, I'm sure God understands, Pastor Alex. If it contradicts his word, it doesn't. There's no. Well, you know, you shouldn't be so black and white. You should be a little bit gray, you know. No. It's either right or it's wrong. It's either what his word says or it's not. Can you say amen? Okay, I think you get the picture. So the first thing we will always do is take a look at what the scriptures have to say whenever any kind of revelation comes to you, whether it be from a person, whether it be in a prayer, whether it be a dream or a vision. You can only confirm that word by taking a look at what the scriptures have to say with it. Remember, the devil will always use scriptures out of context, and that's what you need to watch out for. always put scriptures into context. When Satan came to Jesus, he quoted scripture to Jesus. But listen, you are quoting the word to the word. It's not going to work. Amen. Are you guys here this evening? Amen. Okay. The second key, and probably the one that helps me as a believer more than anything else, Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15, let's start there. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. The second key, and this is the one I try and teach people more than anything, when someone comes and says, this has happened, what do you think, Pastor Alex? Is this God or isn't it? I always say, let peace be your guide. When God speaks to you about a situation, peace will always come. And whatever gives you peace, that's the voice of God. Whatever causes confusion, whatever causes strife, whatever causes dissension, that's not the voice of God. The voice of God will always bring peace. Now, that doesn't mean for one second that you're sometimes not going to go through stuff that doesn't cause you peace. But remember, even in the storm, the peace will come. Let me give you a quick example. Let's go to Mark 4, verse 35. I'll quickly read the story to you. Jesus gave his disciples a word and told them that they must go on a boat to the other side. Watch. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Jesus gives them the word. It's a true word. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. So in other words, even when you get a word, that doesn't mean that during your journey on the way, all of a sudden a storm will not arise. And the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, watch, peace. Be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? The point I'm trying to make is that even in a storm, after you've heard God's voice, don't think that now, because suddenly on this journey of what God has already led you to go on, that now suddenly there won't be a bit of turmoil. But remember one thing, as you begin to seek him in that turmoil, just like the disciples did, hey, he gets up and peace will once again rule your heart. So in a situation where there is turmoil, you have to seek after God to get that peace. His voice will bring you peace every time he comes to you, regardless of the circumstance or situation that you're going through. Can you say amen? Second Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God's voice will not bring confusion, and God's voice will not bring fear. Can you say amen? Remember that behind the Spirit of God is always love, peace, joy. Those are the things that come from the voice of God. And peace and a sound mind are so important. God is never the author of confusion. So he will not confuse you. He will not make you... He will not cause you to get to a situation where you're so confused. You don't know what's truth and what isn't truth. That can never be God. As soon as you have stability, a sound mind, or truth, immediately you know that's the direction that God's wanting you to go in. I remember when God spoke to me about planting the church here in Vero. I'll never forget this. I had a vision, as many of you know. I had a vision, and I knew this was what God wanted me to do, to come plant this church. I knew it was Vero Beach. I saw it in the vision, went outside my room, went straight to my wife and said to her, listen, God has spoken to me. We're going to plant a church in Vero Beach. We went Stuart. I went to her and said this to her. She looked at me like I was crazy. Now, let me tell you, I knew that that's what God wanted me to have, wanted me to do. I had peace immediately about it. But I didn't listen immediately because everything around me was trying to tell me that this was not God's voice. The only person that can express to you the way I was feeling was probably Matthew in the back because he was with me. We were at a conference when God finally gave my wife peace about it. And we were in unity, and I won't do anything until my wife and I are in unity. The uncomfortableness, the torture, the torment that I was going through in my physical body, literally, because I knew God had spoken to me, was causing me to have no peace. But the moment Naomi said to me, this is God, we need to go, a peace came over me that I cannot explain. And there was no doubt anymore. And that's how it will always be for you when God comes to you and gives you a word or speaks to you about the direction of your life or begins to express to you, this is what you must do. This is the way you must go. He will always come and bring you peace. Amen. Amen. Now, during this fast, many of you are going to begin to seek God powerfully. I've expressed and shared with you in the past how God will speak to us this year in visions and dreams. It's amazing how after I preached that sermon on visions and dreams, how many people have come to me and shared their dreams and visions that God's already begun to give to them. Thank you for all those amens. That's great. Amen. Now, what I want us to do, because we're about to go into this fast. We're starting tonight. Most of us are starting tonight. If you've started, that's great. If you haven't started, you can start tonight or tomorrow. Amen. Let's all stand for just a moment. Can you bow your heads? And let's begin to speak to the Lord. Father, tonight, in this place, Lord, I know this word tonight is important. Because during the season of fasting, it's so clear in Scripture that many times during a fast, you will speak to us about our destiny, about our purpose, about things going on in our lives. Father, you will give us visions and dreams. And I pray right now for every person that's a part of this congregation that will be participating over this season, and even those that won't be fasting, Father, I pray that they will hear your voice and that they will discern your voice clearly. Holy Spirit, we know that you are the Spirit of peace. Jesus, you are the Prince of peace. And I pray that as they hear your voice regarding situations, circumstances, business decisions, Father, whatever it is, destiny and purpose, that you will open their hearts and cause peace to be their guide. That they will know and discern the voice of the Lord and not the voice of the enemy as he comes and tries to plant seeds of accusations and tries to come and bring dissension and tries to come and bring lies and take people out of the direction and the purpose that you have already set for them. I pray, Lord, over this season that the windows of heaven will go open over us and that we will begin to hear your voice like never before. I prophesy over this congregation that the windows of heaven will go open, that they will begin to hear, Lord, concerning their family members, concerning their business, concerning their finances, concerning their relationship with you. Lord, during this season, let us draw closer to you. Let us draw closer to you like never before, Lord. Let us develop a hunger and a thirst for your voice, Lord. Lord, as we pray and as we seek your face, like it was with Daniel, when the angel of the Lord came to him and said to him, Daniel, your words have come up before us. Lord, let our words, let our prayers during this season, let them come up before you. And Lord, I pray that you will respond, that you will send your spirit, that you will send your voice to give us direction, to give us purpose, Lord. Every single one of us. Now I come against the plans of the enemy over every person's life in this place. And devil, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over you now in Jesus' name. And we bind you now. We break your power. Every curse, every evil word, every evil plot, every attempt to speak to any person, we cancel it now in Jesus' name. I speak life over the congregation. I speak life over their families. I speak life over your plans, Father. I pray that the eyes of their understanding will go open, that they will know what is the hope of the calling, what is the destiny and purpose that you have for them. And this will be a season of fasting and prayer, the likes of what we have never seen. I pray, Lord, that you will use this time to open the windows of heaven over this region, Lord, that you will cause us to birth a revival in this region, Father, that there will be a revival, that they will come into this place and they will turn to you, Lord. Yes, that they will turn to you, that we will turn to you, Lord, like never before, Father. Lord, every word that you have spoken over this church, over this region, Father, let it come to pass in the highways and the byways, that many will come to you, many will come to know you. Transform the city, Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ. Now, right there where you are, we're about to go into a fast for 2019. And if you've got things you desire from the Lord, or promises or commitments that you want to make to him, do it now. Do it now. Begin to speak to him now. Closer to you. We want to hear your voice. We want your heart to beat in our hearts. We want your heart to beat in our hearts, Lord. We want to hear your voice in this season. So, Father, we thank you. You've heard the cry, the whisper of your people as they speak to you privately tonight, Lord. Father, I pray that after this fast, as we begin, as we end the fast at the end of the Holy Spirit Fire Conference, that you will pour out your Spirit, Lord, that there will be a fresh fire that will fall on this congregation like never before, Lord, that you will just bring people from the north, the south, the east, and the west, that you will bring them to this place, Lord. Birth a revival. Yes, we cry out for a revival, Father, in the name of Jesus. We desire a move of your Spirit. We desire the lame to walk, those that need healing to be healed, those that need deliverance to be delivered, Father, those that need to be encouraged to be encouraged, Father. I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you will do it for your glory. And Father, in this season, as you speak to your servants that are in this place, that we will hear your voice clearly, and we will give you all the glory, we will give you all the honor, and we will give you all the praise. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, and we worship you tonight in this place. All the glory belongs to you. All the honor belongs to you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship with the Spirit be with each and every one of you as you go your way, as you start this fast. May you be blessed. May you have the strength of the Lord. May he help you. May he strengthen you. May he equip you to see this fast through. And during the season, that you will draw closer to him like never before. We thank you. We praise you and honor you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.